Start your engines and join me in the new mobile game, RuPaul's Drag Race Superstar. May the best superstar win. Available now.
In a world full of straight people,
aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race?
RuPaul's Drag Race, may the best drag queen win. Drag queen win.
And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
I'm Matt McConkie. I'm a writer, performer, and host of this podcast about And Just Like That. But now that we've recapped both seasons of the show, I couldn't help but wonder, should I go back and cover the original Sex and the City? The answer, of course, is no, but I can't be stopped, so every week I'll be joined by my very own Mirandas and Charlottes to unpack an episode or movie of their choosing. We're doing Sex and the City Roulette with extra Samantha and none of the Che. And just like Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey everyone, what you are about to hear is the second half of a two-part conversation. We're talking about the Sex and the City movie with my amazing guests, Maren Dungey and Drew Droege. Part one was last week's, so if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to that first, because this is the second half of my conversation with Maren and Drew about the Sex and the City movie. Enjoy.
So, Samantha, the weight gain thing is so...
Wait, why are we skipping to the weight gain?
Oh, we'll start wherever you want.
Well, no, because should we not? I feel like we should go in order, like, because then I'll get lost.
Yeah.
Because the weight gain's at the end.
Yeah.
The weight gain's at the end. Yeah. I'm just thinking of her character in general. I mean, initially, she's in LA. She's, you know, her whole life is revolving around Smith. And she's got the hot next door neighbor.
It was very hot. She's very hot the whole time, too. And that's when they announced that at the end. I was like, I don't.
That part was offensive. Like, that was way more offensive than anything. Like, that was you are writing essentially a love letter to the women who love this show, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. the women, not that the, like, the, you know, there's not guys and gays and ever who love the show,
sure.
but like, this is a love letter to women of a certain age. And now you're going to fucking weight shame somebody like who's not even it was the saddest, weakest device I've ever seen. It was, they had to get like a double to do that, even, because it's like she doesn't have anything. Like,
yeah. They really wrote an interesting line, walked an interesting line here, because on one hand, like, the actor's body didn't really, she looked amazing the entire time.
Wasn't she like laying out naked with sushi and he didn't show up because he was happening 5 minutes ago and now she's like fat?
And very wisely, they have Carrie say, obviously you would be beautiful at any weight. But at the same time, they're all talking about it as if it's like a grotesque weight. It's like,
yeah.
Carrie also says like, how could you not notice? And it's like, well, I don't see it. It's confusing.
There's no way out of that. Like, had Kim Cattrall actually gained a lot of weight,
right, or put on a fat suit or something.
Because it's not like we have to call out this thing. And unless that actually happened and the actor was like, you know what, I'm going to call it out. And we're going to be like, and I am beautiful at any age. But it's just a very tricky thing to ever, you know, go to. And as somebody who was, I was so offended by that movie, The Whale, that came out last year. I'm like, I don't like I don't enjoy that as a plot point either. So it was just really bizarre to me. And I don't know, as someone who didn't watch the show, if that came up a lot.
Never.
Or if at all, but okay. Yeah.
And look, you know, in the 90s, when this did come out, right? This is like originally, you know, there's things that you could talk about and say and do and whatever that you absolutely cannot at all. Like, I mean, like, you know, you had Fat Monica on Friends.
Right.
So
Shallow Hal and all that stuff. Yeah. Sorry.
Exactly. But this seems, it was a cheap, sad shot and unnecessary. So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the sushi sequence. I do remember, and again, I love every minute of this movie. It is my favorite thing from the Sex and the City canon. But in the like Samantha sushi sequence, I remember even the first time I saw it, like, this is kind of the moment where I'm feeling the 2 hours and 26 minutes a little bit. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I'm good all the way. I loved it when we left, like, let's get back. Like when we left Mexico and she gets back to New York and gets her shit together and colors her hair and all those things. Like we're moving. Like I was mm-hmm. I like that I like that they were like, you have to get your life back together without him. Let's go. And she did. And mm-hmm. I liked that.
Yes.
But yes, you're not wrong. Like that's what those scenes in Los Angeles felt very like.
The sushi for me, I laughed out loud at her standing up and the sushi that kept falling off of her. That was hilarious to me because I just like, it was just so silly and stupid. I was like, oh my God, more and more and more and different kinds of sushi and rice and different things falling off of her. But there was another element of like, it's so desperate and it goes for so long. And it's also like, oh God, he's not worth it. Go to that neighbor. My God.
I know.
You're Samantha. And you're a gay man who's got that living next door to you. Enjoy that. You know what I mean? Do it.
Right. I know. Maybe if she comes back in and just like that, we can have her reunite with him.
Mm.
Now, Maren, are you implying that you like Carrie as a brunette?
I mean, like, look, I love her as a blonde and it's so funny. Like I always think about when she started the series, like if you look at the pilot, she looks awful, awful. How they kept that as the pilot and didn't reshoot it is unbelievable because she just looks not great with that shorter hair. Like she's got her like Annie curly blonde short hair and it's blondie, through that course of, like they clearly shot the pilot, they went away, they came back, and then they're like extensions, blonder, like, and they did it, and it and then she just became this mane, and it, you know, but whoever colored it did a great job in the brunette. She looks beautiful. I mean, like she knows her look now, and she looks really good. I thought she looked great.
Yeah,
I just loved that she. I love that she put her head in the witness protection program. Like there was a great line about it. It was really, really good. I liked her getting her life together and the phone. I mean, Jennifer Hudson is terrible in this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a terrible use of her. And it's terrible. It's cringy. And as a Black person, it's super fucking cringy. It was so, we need a Black person because everyone's complaining. She just went off. Here we go.
Let us remember this person is an Oscar winner, you know, not for this performance.
Who's given so little to do, who comes in so late in the movie that you're like, all of a sudden like, oh, now we have this new character that we don't get. We literally, I mean, St. Louise from St. Louis and the whole
Maren has taken off her glasses and
the whole saint of it all is sort of like, oh God, can she just be a flawed, interesting person like the others?
The magical Negro.
The best thing for me was that we got Annalee Ashford and Bridget Everett leading up, like in a montage of like, oh my God, it's Annalee Ashford. Oh my God, it's Bridget Everett. Like that was so fun leading up to. And then it was that weird reveal of that one guy who's like, I think I'm great for the job. And then it's wearing these bright pink, like Barbie pumps. And I'm like, oh, that's fun, cute, fun. And then we get to Jennifer Hudson. And I was like, oh, right. I forgot that she's literally shoved into this movie.
Shoved.
An hour in. And her character is, she's a cyber wizard. Like she's just really good on the computer. But
very into fashion.
Yes.
And
oh, that. Louis Vuitton moment was wild.
Also, how she hold like you when she was like holding the bag the way she held it, it was like nobody who really loves fashion holds a bag like that. Like just let's be perfectly clear. Like she like it was like you're what are you for? Like what are you for? This is your Barbie purse? Like it was.
She rents her clothes. Like she. I mean, I know it's like wild, but again, you're like
you're in New York. There are bed bugs. What are you doing?
Yeah. Fully.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, my sister-in-law in New York is a big Rent the Runway person. And I'm always like, God, that seems like the way to live. But you're making some points.
I mean,
that's
a real company, but like, it's gross.
It's, also,
like, you need to walk around, like, that's another thing. It's like, you rent the runway because you're getting a dress for an event or something like that.
Right.
Just rent your bag. Like, go buy a knock. You're in New York. They're on right. the street, like a million of them. Like, I've bought them. Like, they're, you know what I'm saying? It's fun mm-hmm. to like, they do great knockoffs. Like, what do you yes. for $26? Like, this is a device put together by a man who has never had to do this. Like, it's like, nobody does that.
Yeah. You know, it's a tough character. When they say goodbye, I gotta say, just like everything else in this movie, at the end of the day, it does make me cry. And I wonder if there is room for them to bring her back in and just like that and try to do justice for Jennifer Hudson.
I don't need it. I feel like the Black women that they use now are being utilized in a much better space. Just stay on the morning show. You're doing great. What the fuck? Like, you don't need this job. Mm-hmm. You're doing great work over there. Like that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you had a good first season here, but like now it's like, what? But my homegirl, what's her name?
Nicole Ari Parker.
Is fantastic. And that's right.
She's on it just like that. Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
And she's great. And she's exactly right. And she fits in the world. And she is all like, it was a hard ascent to get in with her, like with all of it. Cause it was like, oh wait, too many new, like what's happening? We're trying to fill the Samantha void. And then second season, they found their stride. It got a lot
better.
A lot better.
I won't veer us too far into this because I know you're not watching, Drew, but since we're on the topic, we know now Sara Ramirez is not coming back. I predict that Karen Pittman won't be back.
I've heard that as well. Like, I know all these things. You can't avoid it. Like, you can't avoid this. Like, I already know that everyone hates Che Diaz.
Yeah.
Having never watched it, but I know that everyone's like, oh my God, Che Diaz. And it's like the jokes of Che Diaz and her not coming back. And
we don't need Che.
Yeah. No, Che is good riddance, but I also predict Karen Pittman won't be back only because it seemed like she had so little time to even be in the second season. And I mean, her as an actor, obviously, but I love that character too. But I also think the show will maybe benefit from literally just fewer characters to track.
Agreed. We don't need her. I mean, she's lovely and she's great and she's super talented, and it was a good thing for Miranda for a minute. We don't need her. Like, if she's not going to be like a girlfriend or some sort of love interest for Miranda or anything like that, like, we're good. We're all set.
Yeah.
Not to get Luke Winnow Karen out of a part, but we're good.
Folks, sunnier days are a-coming. Summer's right around the corner. We're all on our wellness journeys, and I can think of no better way to kickstart your new healthy routine than with Factor Meals. And right now, if you go to factormeals.com/likematt50 and use our code likematt50, you'll get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription's active. So with Factor Meals, there are 35 different meal options, more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so you've always got new flavors to explore. You can make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert, everything in between. You'll stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. I'm talking filet mignon. I'm talking shrimp. I'm talking blackened salmon. And Factor Meals are ready in 2 minutes, so no shopping, no prepping, no cooking, no cleanup. Head to factormeals.com right now. Go to factormeals.com/likematt50 and use code likematt50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code likematt50 at factormeals.com/likematt50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. We talked recently about that episode where Carrie doesn't have enough money to buy her apartment and Charlotte eventually gives her her engagement ring to help her get the money. That one always strikes a nerve because it's such a relatable topic, because sometimes that paycheck just doesn't seem to come quick enough. But look, life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app, you verify your paycheck, then you access up to $100 a day as you work, leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I know I've got my husband's birthday coming up. I want to give him a nice gift. He's a man who likes the nicer things in life. So that's certainly how I would use the extra money I'd get from earning. Download earning today. It's EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Just Like Matt under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. That's Just Like Matt under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. So then maybe we don't need Louise from St. Louis to
stay in St. Louis.
Another moment that that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, that is another moment that makes me cry.
Same, I love it.
When
New Year's Eve when she
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and the song they use is perfect. It's just really special. Like it's just another moment that sort of solidifies when they are real and when they are friends, and like they're doing like you wouldn't necessarily do, but like I love it. I do love it.
I do too.
That's the thing for me as a like really as an outsider watching. I agree. I love their genuine moments more than a lot of the comedy bits that they're going for. And I feel like a lot of it is just like it's gotta be hard. And I think with every show you grow up. You know, when you start a show where you're like, oh, we're young and we're fun in the city, you know, and there's a different, there needs a more, and not that, you know, it's not like we have to be dowagers, we have to be all serious. But when you get older, you're like less, different things are funny, and there are plenty of funny things. And it's not that it has to turn into the Golden Girls and all about that, but it is a thing I think that it's hard, why like animated shows are allowed to like, Bart Simpson's always gonna be the same age. Mm-hmm. But as characters grow and mature, you're kind of like, do we really need, you know, that? And so maybe that's for me watching it, I'm going, what? And I think it's like when they're just together, like that scene where she runs through the rain to be with each other on New Year's Eve is so beautiful. And it's like you're watching that going, oh, they're great in this, and maybe more based in that. I don't know. Yeah,
no, you're absolutely right. And I will say that, like, because my kids are enormous Simpsons fans, like I tire of the fact that they don't grow. I tire of the fact that like the same thing all the time. I like, and I think that they have to find their footing, and I think that that's what we love about this movie, is that 70% of the movie is good in that they have more solid, real, interesting things, and or the things that are funny and sweet work than they don't. And I think that they drank the Kool-Aid and shot for the moon in the second one, because, you know, then the second one is literally labels. The whole thing is like a fashion show. It's called just a fashion show that's sewn together with the thinnest of pot. It's like, what? But
Lawrence of my labia is, you know, so much of it. Okay.
And, but like, you know, the device of St. Louise is fine, and how she does, Carrie did need someone outside of those three to put her back together again. And I don't mind that. I mind that they made her a magical Negro, but that, and at least they gave her like a boyfriend and a reason and a, you know, they get a last name, like many things that my characters never have. But she did need somebody outside of it to box up the thing and remind her to go to the apartment, you know, and to hide her emails and all that, those things. So it does work. It does work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's not great at it. And it's not a well-written part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just didn't love that Carrie had to save her by giving her her own Louis Vuitton bag. That moment was real cringy for me. And the way she's act and all of it, I was like, ooh, we don't need this at all. The fact that, you know, and again, yeah, to your point, they're doing that, but they could, but she doesn't need, if she's going to be a saint, like maybe she doesn't need the help. Like, oh, she's getting her own, you're buying her own purse. Thank you, savior. You know, it's a little bit like.
Yeah. Ugh. White. It's gross.
Yeah.
It's when they act in ways that you're like, oh, you know, they didn't see that as a problem, you know, but like, you know, again, in the 90s, they had an entire show where there were no Black people ever.
Right. Right.
And
right.
People were okay with that. You know, and I watched it and we were okay with it. You know, like there's
so wild. Yeah.
You learn. Everybody's learning. They learned. And that's the good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the bridge. I like the Miranda Bridge thing.
Oh my God. Speaking of moments that make me cry. I feel like Miranda and Steve's story is one of the best executed relationships arc, like in all of Sex and the City. Like when that Al Green song comes in and she sees the milk mustache in the mirror and they're on the Brooklyn Bridge, they finally see each other. Gonna start crying again. So good.
It's well done. They figured that out and it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
I was gonna say something else about the Jennifer Hudson thing, but I don't. Oh, you know, so when I was on Watch What Happens this past summer, I don't think I ever talked about this on the podcast, to promote this podcast, you know, was out of my mind. It's a live show and you're shot out of a cannon and you have all these things planned to say and then none of it goes as planned and right, whatever. It was fine. It was fun. But, you know, Andy asked me about this podcast and then, oh, and then they did this is what it was. They did the viewer question thing. And somebody said, what's the worst episode of Sex and the City? And I'm thinking, like, there isn't one, of course, but my mind immediately went to, I'm sure you'll know the one I'm talking about, Maren, when Samantha dates a black man. And then there's like, she has like a rivalry with his sister. It's just like, so literally all I said on the show, I just go, oh, the one where Samantha dates a black man. And then they move on. So that's my answer. Started getting some tweets where it was like, why did he say that? What's wrong with that? But because in my mind, it's like so obvious why that.
It's so inept. It's just and if you look at any lists, it is listed as the worst worst episode. Yeah, there's like the top, you know, they rank at one point, and it is because it's just so ham-handed the way they handle it. It's just it's that one's bad. The one where she dates the like 20-something. It's who's that actor? The F1 from Justified.
Timothy Oliphant?
I don't remember.
Yes, Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
He has like a coffee filter, is like toilet paper. Oh, there's there's some that are pretty bad, but yes, the Jennifer Hudson of it is not great.
Not great.
They finally know how to handle race better in the show now because they are not talking about it all the time. And the people who talk about it are the people who have the race, not outside of it.
Right.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. And it's also, I think, maybe a little hard to see Jennifer Hudson, just knowing what we know as an audience, as like low status, as like someone who's already such a superstar. Yeah. Like you sort of just don't buy her as like a lowly assistant in general. But, you know.
The only thing that I really liked about their relationship, other than you needed somebody to do that. It didn't need to be her. Mm-hmm. When they had that scene where she was like, she took her for drinks, you know, she's like, the woman with the whatever, like I pay for the, you know, it's like, and yes, you should, you're her boss and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they have that really great conversation. You know, I liked the idea of her passing the mantle of the 20 something New Yorkness to her. And she could have done it with anybody. It didn't have to be Jennifer Hudson, but, you know.
Yeah. I have a soft spot for it because I was an assistant for such a long time when I was that age range, and the moments that like the boss would give me a nice gift, or like we would go out together, we would get to have like a human connection for a moment and I wasn't just like employee, were so meaningful.
By the way, I think that it wasn't her giving the gift. If she had done it in a way, if Carrie hadn't fucking been there and had just been like left it for her, it would have been better. It was that she made a big fucking display of her, and then Jennifer's reaction was so like this thing, it would have been better to like have her be like, thank you for everything that you've done, because you should, like, it is like as an assistant, I did like getting a nice, you know, the thing that they didn't want from the gift bag or whatever, you know, and that would have landed in a different
way.
Less savior and more like a real thank you.
Yeah, because it would have been more like, also it would have been all on Jennifer Hudson and not going back and forth and seeing, you know, Carrie all proud and like, look what I did and you're welcome and that kind of thing. And like, oh, you're being so cute the way you're holding that bag. And and doing all that, I fully agree. It would have been so much simpler to have her walk up on that and it be like a thing and we don't need to talk about it. Just like, this is love. This is thank you. And agree.
You know, one of the many, many things I have in common with our Lord and Savior, Oprah Winfrey, is that I love bread. I do. I love it. It's my favorite thing. When they drop that basket on the table at a restaurant, I light up, I dive in, and then I go, oh no, don't have too many. What am I going to do? Because the carb fear can be very real. But luckily, Hero Bread is here with those same delicious favorites, but free of consequences or compromises, because they have remade carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. And right now, if you go to hero.co and use code LIKEMATT, you'll get 10% off your order. So whether your health goals are getting enough fiber or cutting down on sugar or adding more protein, or you want to find a way to make a delicious French toast or a breakfast sandwich that still fits in with those goals, it's all about the Hero Bread. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your first order. Go to hero.co and use code LIKEMATT at checkout. That's LIKEMATT at hero.co. Because you can have your bread and eat it too. Anything else we haven't covered?
I wrote down a lot of just little moments. I was basically like, I love that when they went Halloween shopping, that Carrie is fully dressed like Hudson Hawk. Like, I don't know, like that weird, like steampunk look that she's in was amazing to me. I love the fur as murder people in that moment. That also felt out of a John Waters movie in a way that I liked. I was sort of like, whoa. And just like that sort of thing, you know. Then I wrote the Valentine's dinner fight was crazy, but I don't remember what fight that was. What was that?
It was Carrie and Miranda out together with all the Valentine's awfulness around them. And
of course. Yes, of course.
It took her forever to tell her what she said. And then like, she's like, you waited 6 months to tell me that you broke up my marriage and, you know, this is all your fault. And so it was a little bit like, shut up, Carrie. It's not all her fault. But also, Miranda, what the fuck that you didn't talk to her about this and just say, listen.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right. But yeah, like you tried to tell me once. It was all of that thing where she was like, I tried to tell you. And I said, okay. Because that was, I agree, like Carrie fully could and should be upset that it's been this long and you haven't said anything to me. And we were in Mexico. Mexico is where you could have told me. And we could have had this then.
The night that they were all having vodka after the wedding is when, I know there'd be no movie, but Matt, when you were like, this is where I started feeling the like hour and 26 minutes or whatever, or the 2:26 of the movie, this is where I felt it, where it's like, holy shit, like we're just resolving this part of the thing
right
now. Mm-hmm.
Because at a certain point, there is like a statute of limitations when you have to be like, I'm beyond that at this point. It's Valentine's Day. This was when?
Yeah.
Summer. And it's like, you can have it. Then it was just this moment of like, oh, we're going back to that thing.
I will sidebar and say, I've seen this movie 20 times. I mean, like it is one of my things that is comfort food. So like, as much as I can dissect this and go like, this is not great. Like, that's why I can do it, because I've seen it so many times, because I do love it. Go on.
Yes. Sure. Same.
No, and I agree. I mean, I love unpacking that. And you're totally right. When you start pulling strings of things, you're like, well, then there wouldn't be a movie and there wouldn't be a reason why, you know, every movie you can sort of find that sort of a thing. But it did feel crazy to me where we're making Carrie crazy in a way that I was like, I don't know that I think there could have been a more nuanced argument of like, aren't we good enough friends that you couldn't have told me that? And versus like, how dare you have ruined my chances with Big. When we're sort of like, let's be strong women here and fuck this guy. We don't care about this man. And let's be better than this. And, you know, I mean,
I think what's hard is when they make that choice to sometimes be strong women and take care of things. And then sometimes they don't. And it's like, well, why are we? I mean, and look, I get everybody's human. And sometimes you're just like too fraught about it. But I don't know. I just feel like when you stay on the trajectory of who you are as that character, and some of this plays in like, and I know that you haven't seen this, Drew, like in the new series, like when Miranda finally gets together with Che. She makes out with her in Carrie's apartment, right? And Carrie like gets so fucking mad, like so hopped up, crazy. You weren't there. Like people are like living with her because she had this surgery and doing all these things. And she ends up wetting the bed because she could, like, because you were fucking my co-star on the, and just like, ma'am, pull it together. Like everybody's not, the world is not your servant, you know, like every once in a while, Carrie gets a little bit like, everybody help me. And it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, what's good about this, the Carrie Miranda rift, is that then you get the payoff of like, oh, this movie's actually not about labels and love. It's about forgiveness. And obviously there's a forgiveness between Carrie and Big. That's a separate issue, but the forgiveness between them and the, just anytime they bring it back to it being a love story between the girls, especially Carrie Miranda, it's like, it's just so good. Yeah. Speaking of, by the way, in back to the New Year's Eve sequence, another thing that struck me this time is like when we check in with Big two times, he's just sitting alone at a, appropriately so, he's sitting alone at a bar, sadly eating a steak on New Year's Eve. But I'm like, God, does this man have a single friend? He was going through with the entire wedding. And yes, it's his third wedding, but like we never saw or heard from a family member, a friend, and nothing.
Not true. Not true. At the rehearsal dinner.
Oh, right.
Shitty friend who's like, like he said some shitty stuff that embarrassed him about like this being your, like the third time's the charm and that kind of stuff. And he was like, and it's like, oh, so you're all dicks. You're all Wall Street.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Finance bros.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He was another Wall Street bro, whatever. I don't know what Big's job is ever.
Honey.
Did we do it? Anything we have not left on the field here?
What? I loved Joanna Gleason as therapist. I always loved seeing her. I loved the crazy way Kristen Davis holds her baby and like weirdly scratches and pets it under. I've never seen anyone hold a baby like that before, but that wasn't fun for me. So question, I think you already answered it. Jennifer, I missed this. So Jennifer Hudson told Carrie that Big was going to be in the apartment, or she found out?
No. She said today is the day that Heaven on Fifth closes. So if you've left anything there, go. And she left the Manolos.
Right. And so she
back.
So Big also knew it was the last day. So that's why he showed up there.
And so he was there and they were there. And then that's, I mean, like, of course that's the like,
I know. I mean, they literally say it wasn't logic, it was love. But my logic brain kicked in. I'm like, wait, has he just been hanging out in the closet waiting for her to show up? But I was like, it was explained a bit.
I do think it makes sense that there is that thing of like, oh, you have to like, you know, like make sure you got everything out of the apartment. So I'm sure you just, you know, whatever. Like, but you know, you have till five and whatever. Who cares? Again, it's for sure. It's like the magic moment, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I do love that. And I love from like the ending, like the wedding, the way it happens, the suit.
Yeah, that was really smart because I wasn't planning on seeing the suit again. Love and the whole idea of like, oh, let's do it the way we actually want to do it and make both of us happy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the friends being there, you know, opening the door.
And he's like, yeah. And they're like,
it's wonderful.
And, like, oh. And your little joyful heart like forgives every flaw of the movie. And then they're all eating deadly food and it's great.
it's great. It's just so good. It's, you know, one of the great epics of our, it's my Godfather.
Same. Same.
I'll watch it again and again. I hope you'll both come back and recap it with me again and again.
Well,
I'll watch whatever you want me to watch. I'm so sad that I have not seen this movie until now. That's like kind of an atrocity. So I'm glad I've righted that wrong.
Drew, I'm giving you the assignment.
Okay.
Season 6, it's like the third to the last episode, and it's called Splat. And it is the masterpiece.
Splat.
It is a masterpiece.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It is, like, you need to call me or text me immediately, because it is one of the best episodes. It because just everything is so well done. Save the very last few minutes, you're like, what the fuck? But like really? I mean, they kind of explain it, why it is like a little cuckoo, but it, amazing acting. Amazing.
Yeah.
Kristen Johnson.
I was going to ask, is this the Kristen Johnson episode with the title like that? I've seen that clip a million times and laugh my ass off.
But you have to see the whole thing.
I need to watch the whole thing.
And flip out every time because the setup. And then you also, if you love the reel, the scene between Carrie and Miranda is, it's my motherboard, myself, the best. Like that.
Wow.
That
okay. Done. Easy.
Before I let you go, Maren, what are these, speaking of clips online, I'm seeing Dave Holmes and Ben Wise posting of you singing at, is it Hotel Cafe?
Yeah, we do a show twice a year at Hotel Cafe, and it's called the Coffee Shop Arena Rock. And it's a lot, I mean, such a, I mean, if you like 80s, 90s, and early 2000s music, it's the most fun. The place is packed. Everybody's singing along. It's, I mean, like you've got some incredibly talented people like Garrison Starr and Curtis Peoples and, you know, Pierce the Veil was there. Like, but then you've got me doing like Rapture, you know, just, but like, it's always fun. Always fun. You know,
when are you doing it again? Do you know, do you have a date on?
We probably won't do it again until the summer, just because everybody involved, like we don't want to overdo it, but also the guy, Curtis Peoples, who runs it, who's a singer songwriter in his own right, like is busy and has a kid now and like there's stuff. So I think they used to do it 3 times a year, but when we do it twice, it's, you know, but there's, it's always like they did, there was a duet of Don't You Want Me. And there's, I mean, Pour Some Sugar on Me. Like, it's just a fun, great night. Enjoy the silence. Everybody, it was awesome.
Oh, I will totally be there. I love Hotel Cafe. That's such a fun, I love that space. And that sounds like a blast.
It's really, really fun. And I want to see, are you guys doing Golden Girls again soon?
They are, I don't know if I'm not sure. I haven't done it the last few times, but I'm a part of a drag Golden Girls group, and it's, I've been a part. This is going to be the 10th year that it's happening. And I did it for a solid 8. And then I just have been like, sort of like, I need to do something else, but I love it. I just saw them do it at Largo and they were incredible. And I go through that thing of like, sometimes you have those growing pains of like, something's got to go, but I love them so much. And I miss being up there with them.
You're so good.
Though Kelly Mantle was amazing as Rose and was like, oh, incredible. Because, yeah, it was. So I'm never say never. I'd love to come back and if maybe, you know, but that usually happens twice a year. Also, it's usually the beginning of the year and then late summer.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Also, I just want to say to you in person, Maren, I'm so sorry I cut you off, Matt. I haven't been able to see. I've been like, thank you so much for all that you did during the strike. You were such a voice of reason and clarity. And I came to you for so much information, and I just appreciate on, you know, like there were just people out there doing the good work, and you really were awesome. And so thank you for that.
Oh my God, my pleasure. I was like, if we don't pass this thing.
Yeah.
Because there was just wild misinformation.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for that. And Drew, last question. What is this Luca Guadagnino movie?
Oh, I it's supposed to come. I'm not sure when it's coming out, but it's an adaptation of William S. Burroughs' book Queer that he wrote before Naked Lunch and after Junkie. And it's it's set in 1950 in Mexico. It's this very, very sad, dark film starring Daniel Craig. And I was so happy to get to be a part of it. I had a blast. So we'll see. I have no idea how much, if I'm still in it or how much I got to be in it, but it was a great, incredible time. And
did you work with
him? I'm very grateful. I did. Yeah. All my stuff was with him. I got to be like a really mean drunk queen in the bar that I got to be horribly mean to him. So it was really fun.
Oh my God. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Was he great?
He was the kindest, the nicest, most wonderful human being. Like I know you're always supposed to say that, but I could not get over, and I'm so grateful. I mean, always when someone's like that, but I was intimidated on a film like that. And I think a lot, you know, I don't get to step onto those sets often or ever. And so having to do these scenes, you know, you hear the stories of the method actors who are always kind of in, and he gives it a beautiful, dark performance. Like, I hope this is huge for him because he's so great. But every time we weren't rolling, he was just so amiable and like, how can we make this work? How can I make this better for you? Like he was like your dream that you want to, and you just forget that like, oh, this person is James Bond and I have to, you know, and he's in the scenes in my face, like looking at, he's going to punch me in the face. And he's so, you know, so it was, I just adore him. I'm a fan.
Big are always great. The big stars, 90% always
great.
Because they need to make the room better for everybody else is so intimidated. And any experience I've ever had, you know, with Jane Fonda or Sir Patrick Stewart, Meryl Streep, they're always ready to work and be great and to be kind and to, you know, work the room.
And especially the ones that have been around for a while that know like, oh, that's what's happening right now. Like everyone's nervous that I'm here because I'm, you know, fill in the blank person.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And they are like, oh, I can easily just take this little bit of time and energy to kind of take care. But, you know, it's hard when, I mean, Daniel Craig was in every scene in this movie and had to give this really, I mean, he's trying to shake heroin in this movie. He's obsessed with this guy. Like, wow. It's just so much in this movie that he would take that extra step is, you know, but yeah, you're right. It's like,
you have to, you can't get nobody can get anything done because you're like,
yeah, I know.
So good lesson.
Yeah.
Good lesson. Maren Dungey, Drew Drogi, thank you both so much.
Thank you, Matt.
What a joy.
It was a real joy.
The podcast was almost as long as the movie.
And that's our show. Please do give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Instagram at And Just Like Matt Pod. And Just Like Matt is a World of Wonder production created and hosted by me, Matt McConkie. Our executive producer is Renee Colvert. Our associate producer is Jess Walensky. And our audio engineer is Justin Mattson. Many thanks to Michael Pressman and everyone at World of Wonder.